Hey, welcome. It's great to have you here with us today. If we haven't met, I'm Mark, one of the pastors here at C3. Welcome those who are here in the West venue, over in the East venue as well, and those that are joining us on our online community. Great to have you today. Let me tell you what we're at. We are in week two of a series we just started last week. We're calling Celebrate, and we're looking at things that God celebrates, and I believe that we need to celebrate. Last week, we talked about Celebrate Life. If you weren't here last week, you can go to our website or the app, and you can see the video, get the notes if you wanted to get caught up. Today, we're talking about Celebrate Relationships, and let me just tell you right out of the gate is that if you are not a follower of Jesus Christ, you are watching this online, or you are right now, you're in one of our venues, and you're like, I'm just kind of kicking the tires. I'm exploring. Can I just tell you something? The greatest relationship that we celebrate is a relationship with God. And I don't know where you're at with God. You maybe somebody dragged you to church through the rain and the wind and all that stuff. And we're so glad you're here. But I just want to let you know that God loves you. He's crazy about you. He created you. He knows you better than you know yourself. And he's pursuing you. And he wants a personal relationship with you. It's not religion. It's a relationship. And that is what he is wanting to have with you. But the choice is yours if you so choose to accept or not to accept. But for those of us who call ourselves followers of God, let me tell you, if you call yourself a Christian, a disciple, a follower of God, God has called us to be in relationship with other followers of Christ. God has never called us to be Lone Ranger Christians. Because when we are by ourselves, we are very easily picked off. Last week, we talked about a verse where Jesus was talking about in John 10:10, says that the enemy, the devil, is a thief. And he kills, steals, and destroys our relationship with God, our marriage, everything that we have. He's trying to just tear it apart. But the next part says, but I, Jesus, I have come to have life and have it to the full. And sometimes we think as a Christian, well, I can do it by myself. I don't need anybody. I can handle it by myself. God never called us to be Lone Ranger Christians. We are called to be in need with one another, to help one another, to encourage one another. This is what God's called us to do. Now, let me tell you, some of you, as I get ready to say this next part, are going to think I'm reading your mind. But a lot of times, we have this thing, we don't actually say it this way, but this is kind of how we think. Sunday morning, I'm going to pull out my God box, I'm going to go to church. And then after church, I'm going to put my God box away. And for the rest of the week, my marriage, my kids, my work, my finances, my schooling, my fill in the blank, this is mine. This is God on Sunday morning, but when I'm done with church, I just put him in his box, and then this is the rest of me. And I'm going to tell you, whether you have a relationship with God or not, I'm going to tell you that is not God's heart. God's heart is to be a part of every area of our life. Not just Sunday morning, then he sits in the box. Sometimes we think, well, this is the house of God, so God must live at the church. And as we're walking away, he's sitting there kind of crying, see you next week. You know, that's not it. God is part of every area of our life. If Jesus is who he said he is, if he is the Son of God, if he is the one who said in advance, I am going to die and I'm going to rise again. And then he died and he rose again, proving that he is the Son of God, proving that he is the Savior, the Messiah, proving that he's over death and hell. If Jesus is who he says he is, then every area of our life should be reorchestrated around the person of Jesus. But so often we go, yeah, I just want him to be on Sunday morning. All this other stuff, I'm going to take care of myself. It's just me. I don't need anybody. And God is going, no, you do. Because look, God never asks us to do something that he doesn't first model. Let me give you an example. So God says we need one another. We need to be in relationship with one another. We need to encourage one another. And then God modeled it in two different ways. One is God himself modeled it, right? Because when you look in Scripture, and we can't understand this, but we look in Scripture and it says that there is one God, but God reveals himself in three ways. Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Now, what does that mean? Is the three gods? No, Scripture says there's only one. But how can the three be one? I don't know. I can't figure it out either. But if God says it, I trust him because his ways are higher than I can't understand it from this side of heaven. And you probably can't either. But God is somehow basically a small group, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. But let's just take Jesus, for example. Jesus then left heaven to come to earth, to take on human flesh, to grow up, and to die for our sins, and to rise again. And when Jesus started, when Jesus came as that at Christmas time as that little baby, he grew up, and at age 30 to age 33, for those 3 years, Jesus did his earthly ministry. He was talking about God the Father. He was talking about who he was and how he is the only way to God the Father and what he was going to do. Is he going to die? And all. So he was just talking all this stuff. And Jesus, while he was doing these 3 years of his earthly ministry, he did what? Had basically a small group. He had 12 guys that he chose to be in his group, his small group. And in his group that he was with, these 12 guys, they were called disciples. They did life together. They would go places together. They would talk about different things together. Sometimes the things that they were talking about were hard. There was times where they kind of had to rebuke one another in love. There was times where things like this happened. Jesus modeled not doing it alone. Jesus modeled that we need one another, and here he is, the Son of God. And I'm thinking, if he needs it, how much more do we need it? This is what God models for us. Let me give you something for your notes. For those of you who are followers of Jesus Christ, our relationship with God is supposed to be personal, but it is never supposed to be private. Our relationship with God, if you call yourself a disciple, a Christian, our relationship with God, not our religion, because he didn't come for religion. If you read in the Gospels, he was more angry at religious people because they're just trying to do the rules. But he came for a relationship. And our relationship with God is supposed to be a personal relationship with him. But it's never meant to be private. That's why we share with one another. That's why we make sure that we're with other followers of Christ so we can share our struggles. They can share ours. Let me tell you, if you don't have that, then where do you go when you have a struggle? Who do you go to? When you're having a problem in your marriage with your spouse, where do you go? I'm just going to go to the local bar. I'm just going to sit there by myself and fume. Great. How's that working for you? Where do we go? Where do we go when we're parents and we're like, my teenager's going off the rails and doing stuff that's just, I don't know how to help. Where do we go for help and guidance and encouragement? Where do we go if we don't have people like that in our lives? Because we want to keep everything private. Let me give you something for notes. We're going to unpack this. Next thing I want to put in your notes is this. The best thing that we can do is to take what is private and personal and make it public. Whoa, hold on, Mark. Make it public. I'm not going to. Do you want me to come up on a Sunday morning and tell all the venues and everybody online all my stuff? No. But I'm saying you take what's private and personal and you make it public with a handful, just a few people who you can trust. Are there people that you can trust? Are there people that you have in your life that when you are hitting a struggle, you're hitting a roadblock, you're having an issue with your faith, you're having a real issue with a relationship, you're having a real issue with your finances or schooling or work, where do you go? And if you don't have anybody that can help you, encourage you, and you don't have anybody that you can help and encourage, can I ask you why? You see, God did not call us, if we are followers of Christ, God did not call us to be Lone Ranger Christians. It's kind of like last night we had a storm come through. There was rain, there was lightning, there was wind. And if you've ever seen a big wind, yeah, well, I'm listening to one right now, Mark. No, that doesn't count, okay? But if you've ever seen a big wind and you see a tree by itself and the wind begins to blow and it begins to bend over, when it's a tree by itself, oftentimes what will happen is it will eventually break. But when you got a whole bunch of trees together, right? And the wind blows. Those trees will bend, but most of them will, or none of them will break, because they're helping each other through the storm, because they're protecting each other. This is what God's called us to. God has said, look, I want you to have a relationship with me, God, but I don't want it to be private. I want you to let other people know. And I want you to be with other people who can pray for you, that can laugh with you, that can encourage you, that can help you. And you can do the exact same thing for them. These are things that God has called us and want us to do. He never wants us to be by ourselves, because just like he said in John 10, we have an enemy, the devil wants to kill, steal, and destroy. And when we are by ourselves, the enemy will pick us off very easily. But we need each other. We need one another to encourage and to help and to spur us on. Let me give you a verse in Hebrews 10. In Hebrews 10, 23, it says this. Let us hold, say the next word with me. Let us hold what? Unswervingly. We're going to come back to that. Let us hold unswervingly to the hope we profess. Now, who's we? We is us. If you are a follower of Jesus Christ, if you are a Christian, a disciple, a follower, he's saying, let us hold unswervingly to the hope we as Christians profess. For he, God, who promised, is faithful. And then he goes on and says this. He says, and let us consider how we may what? Spur. We're going to come back to that word. We may spur one another on toward love and good deeds. How do we encourage one another in love and good deeds? Well, let's go back to that word spur. Do you know what spur literally means? Spur literally means, and this is for your notes, it literally means encourage. Spur one another on. Encourage one another. Do you have, not, I'm not saying 15 people or a dozen or 100. I'm saying, do you have 2, 3, 4 maybe people that you are close to, that you can share your stuff with them privately, and they can share their stuff privately because they know it's not going to go anywhere. And you spur each other on, you encourage each other. Do you have somebody like that in your life? If so, can I tell you, celebrate that relationship. But if you don't, why? Do you think you can do it on your own? I'm going to tell you, you can't. This is what the way God created us. We are wired to have relationships. And God is calling you and I as followers, if you are a follower of Jesus Christ, to be in each other's lives. Not everybody's, but in a few that you can trust, that you can share with. This is what God has called you and I to do. This is something we all need. Listen, you could probably point out somebody that you think, and man, they're doing a, I mean, look at them. They're never swerving all over the road with God. They're always going straight. And they seem to be making wise decisions, and God seems to be blessing them. I'm going to tell you, when you show me a person like that, 9 times out of 10, they have allowed a group of people to speak into their lives. And that group of people has allowed them to speak into their lives. They've got somebody that's around them, that's encouraging them, that's helping them, that are praying for them, that are laughing with them, that are meeting with them. But you show me somebody that maybe is a Christian, maybe baptized, maybe comes to church, you know, once or twice a month or so, and you look at them and they're swerving all over the road in their relationship with God. Sometimes they're on fire for God. Sometimes they're like really freezing from God. And they're like, I don't know where God's at. God did not move. Well, you moved. We got to stop and realize that we need one another. And here, when you look at that person, I'm going to tell you, that person probably 9 times out of 10 doesn't have a group of people around them. Doesn't have somebody that they can share their stuff with, and those people can share their stuff with them. And they encourage one another and pray for one another because they're doing it alone. And that is not the way God intended it. So let me read with to you real quick one of my favorite passages of Scripture. Some of you, if you know a little bit about the Bible, you probably know about this passage. We're looking in the book of Acts in the New Testament. Now, the back half of the Bible is the New Testament, and the first 4 books of the New Testament are called the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. These 4 guys wrote about the same 3-year period of this one Jewish carpenter, Jesus. There was something that these 4 guys go, man, we got to write this down. This is amazing. And so they wrote it all this stuff down. And during this time, it's called the Gospels because the Gospels is the good news of Jesus, that Jesus is the Son of God. He died. He rose again for our sins. That was the Gospels. Then right after that comes Acts. At this point where we're getting ready to read, what we're going to see is this is Jesus has already died, rose again, and 40 days later, he's ascended to heaven. He's left the planet. He's gone back to heaven. And now we're seeing what the believers, what the followers of Jesus are doing. And in Acts 2, here's what it says. Acts 2, verse 42. They meaning Christians, followers of Jesus, they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to the fellowship, to the breaking of bread, and to prayer. So they were listening to messages, kind of like what you're doing right now. The apostles would be teaching messages and stuff. And they would be in fellowship. They would have meals together. They would pray together. Verse 43 says this, everyone was filled with awe, and many wonders and miraculous signs were done by the apostles. All the believers were together and had everything in common. Selling their possessions and goods, they gave to everyone as they had need. In other words, as people that they met or in the group or maybe even outside the group were in need, they would give generously. They'd give money or they'd sell things off and get the money and help the poor, help the needy. Selling their possessions and goods, they gave everything to as they had need. Every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. In other words, in the church. They broke bread in their homes and they ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of all the people. And then listen to this last line. The last line says this, and the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. What does this mean? Jesus dies, rises again, 40 days later, leaves the planet. And all of a sudden, the followers of Jesus, not just the 12 disciples, there was many more by this time. There was thousands. All of a sudden, they are starting to meet together, kind of in small groups. They're going to church together. They're listening to messages. They're going to each other's homes. They're praying for each other. They're eating together. They're doing it daily, it says. And then that last line talks about that those on the outside were getting saved. Every day, God was adding more people. Why? Because all of a sudden, the outsiders are watching these Christians. And they're going, wow, look at those guys. They really like each other. They actually are friends. They seem to laugh and have a good time and eat together and celebrate. Man, I wish I had somebody like that. And all of a sudden, by seeing how Christians, Christ followers, disciples, whatever you want to call them, all of a sudden, they see how they're working and the outsiders are leaning in, going, I want what you got. And I got to believe for myself, and I got to believe probably for many of you as well, this is something we want. When you read that passage of Scripture in Acts chapter 2, all of a sudden we're like, I want something like that. And you, let me tell you, it's an opportunity. You can have something like that. You don't have to open up to everybody, but God is saying there are some people, there's a few that you need to talk to and look at and be able to share with, and they share with you, and you pray and encourage, and you laugh, and you eat together, all this stuff. That's the relationship. See, everything about Jesus is about relationships. Relationships with him and relationships with others. But so often we go, I don't need anybody. It's just me and God. And God goes, no, you need somebody. Because God knows how he wired us. God knows he wired us to be in relationship. And God also knows that we not only need him, but we actually need somebody else. We need somebody. We need God with skin on. We need somebody that we can sit across the Starbucks table and look square in the eye that is a follower of Jesus Christ. And we spur each other on. We encourage one another. If you already have relationships like this, where at 2 o'clock in the morning you have an issue and you can call, celebrate that. But if you don't have that, can I ask you why? Why? And if you don't, we have a solution to help you to get started in this that we'll talk about. See, this is what God's called us to do. See, let me give you a couple things for your notes. Life change, listen, life change doesn't happen in an auditorium listening to a speaker sitting in rows. That is not how life change happens. Can I tell you where life change happens? Here's where it actually happens. Real life change happens when Christians, listen, when Christians are connecting and growing with each other. That is what Jesus wanted for his disciples to do, his 12 disciples, and that's what he wants for all of us that are calling ourselves disciples or followers of Christ. He wants us to have a relationship with him and relationship with other Christians. Now, let me be honest on a couple things here. One is, over the years, me and my wife have been a part of different small groups in churches. And I'll tell you, I have never gone to a group trying to learn something. In fact, let me give you something for your notes. This is a quote I heard one time, and it really stuck with me. It says this, Christians don't need to learn as much as they need to be reminded of what they already know. We don't need to learn more. We need to be reminded of what we already know. But so often we feel like, oh, I got to learn more and more and more stuff. And sometimes we just got all this head knowledge, but we're not living it, so we just become like a bloated believer. And that's not what God's called us to do. God wants us to take what we do already know and actually move it from here to here and actually start living it out. We are to not learn more, we are to apply what we already know. If you just did that, that would help. And one of the things God is calling us to do is to minister and to reach and to be with other people, other followers of Christ, because we need each other. And God knows at times we need to look at God with skin on, somebody that we can stare in their eye and tell them our struggles, and they can tell us their struggles. This is what God has for us. I've never gone to a small group in all the years that I've done small groups. I've never gone to a group going, wow, I didn't know that. Wow. Instead, I go away going, that was good. That was good to hear and see so-and-so and hear their story. All of a sudden now, it encourages us. Some of you, again, you're going to think I'm reading your mind. But some of you are going, Mark, there is not a chance that I'm going to open up to a group or to a handful of people. Not a chance. It ain't going to happen. And I know some of you are feeling that way and thinking that. Some of you are on the total opposite end of the spectrum. Some of you are like social butterflies. You're like, oh, I've already signed up for 7 groups, and that's just on Monday. Let me tell you about my Tuesday groups. I mean, you're just like groups all the time, right? But if you're at a point to where you are not part of being with other Christians in a group of some kind, and you're like, I just don't want to do that. I so understand that. But can I encourage you? Is what you're doing working? Be honest with yourself. If you are not sharing any of your struggles with anybody else, maybe God, but not somebody with skin on in this world, you're not saying, how are you doing? How are you doing with that? God created us to be in relationships, to need one another. That's how God created us. Let me give you a verse. This is another great verse. Hebrews 10:25. It says, let us not give up, say it with me, meeting together, as some are in the habit of doing. But let us, say it with me, encourage one another. God is calling us to encourage one another. Who are the one another's? Followers of Christ. Because God knows in this world, in fact, one of the verses in the Bible, I love this verse. I hate it, but I love it because God is just being totally authentic in this. He says, in this world, you will have trouble. Yay. Right. We will. You will have trouble. If you don't have trouble right now, celebrate it. But guess what? It's coming around the corner. Because everyone in this life will have trouble. And God is saying, in this world, you will have trouble. But he says, I want you to have help in the trouble. I want you to have relationships with other followers of mine. And guess what? They're going to help you. They're going to encourage you. They're going to pray for you. And guess what? I want you to do the same for them. I want you to pray for them. I want you to be there for them. I want you to help them and laugh with them and eat with them. This is what God's called us to, not to be Lone Ranger Christians, but God calls us to be in relationship with one another. But so often, why is it We just don't want to do that. You know, there's times, I'll be honest with you, as we've had small groups in the past, there's times sometimes where it's been like, we've done like Sunday afternoon groups. And whew, at this time of year, that's kind of hard. Because, you know, we'll be coming home from church and then, you know, we're in the afternoon or maybe watching the Seahawks game and the game's not over and we have to leave to go to small group. And I'll say to my wife, let's just skip group tonight and stay home and watch the Seahawks. And then she thumps me on the head and we get in the car and we go, right? But I'm going to tell you, probably 9 times out of 10 of those times, even though I missed the fourth quarter of the game, as we're driving back home from the small group, almost all the time I'd say, yeah, it was good to be there tonight. It's good to hear their story and to talk with them. It's good to share such and such. And all of a sudden, I'm like, yeah, as much as if you're regular C3, do I absolutely love the Seahawks? But I'm going to tell you, that trumps it. That is what God has called us to be a part of. This is what God wants us to do. Let me give you something for your notes. That is why here at C3, all roads at C3 lead people to be involved in small groups. That's why everything we have is leading people to small groups. Because in small groups, that's where we help each other. That's where we hold each other accountable. That's where we love and pray for each other. This is what God's heart is for you and I. Do you have that? Great. Celebrate it. If not, why? Why? In fact, on your app today, if you have the app or you just downloaded the app, there's one of the tiles there that says poll, and that's where we can have poll questions. I want to ask a question today for those of you who have the app, and then I'm going to show it up on the screen. Here's the question. The question is this. Have you ever been a part of a C3 small group? And you got two answers on that poll thing, yes or no. Quickly just open it up and hit yes or no if you have or haven't been part of a small group. And then in just a few seconds, we're going to put it up here on the screen and we're going to see the results. All right, here we go. Do we have some results? Okay. Oh, can you take off that bottom part? There we go. Okay, so it looks like 70% say yes, we've been a part of a group. That's awesome. And about 30% have said no. First of all, let me talk to the yeses. Yeses, some of you could probably get up here and talk this message right now because you've lived it, you understand it, you've realized it. But can I talk to those of you that are the 30% that said, no, I haven't done it yet? Can I ask you why? Do you honestly feel like you can do life alone on your own? Do you feel like God is all I need? I don't need other people. Is it that you're scared? I don't want to go and hear other people's problems, and I sure don't want to go and tell people my problems. I get that. Can I tell you what's probably going to happen? Because this has happened with us. When you get in a group, here's what happens. You have, let's say, 12, 15 people, something like that in a group, right? You will get to know each other over the time you're together. But there are going to be times, I'm going to be honest with you, you're not going to connect with everybody in the group. But I'm going to tell you what will probably happen. You will connect out of 12 or 15 people, you'll probably connect with one or two that you'll feel closer with, that you will probably get together outside of the group. So now the small group becomes like a smaller group, and you and those one or two, you're going to go and do lunch or coffee or something together, and you're going to actually start talking about real life stuff to each other at that point. That's the purpose. You're not going to become best friends with 15 people, but you're going to become close friends with probably one or two people. And that's where we all of a sudden, when the group is over, that's you still have that relationship. You're still getting together for lunch. You're still getting together for coffee. You're still praying for each other and encouraging each other and laughing together and eating and have them over to your house and you go over to their house. That's the goal. To be together, to do what Jesus has called us to do, to encourage one another, and to help one another. Let me begin to end with a story here. There's a young guy one time, new to church, went to church for about a year, year and a half or so, but all of a sudden he just kind of was getting disillusioned in some things. And so he went to an older Christian friend of his that lived outside of town up in the woods in a cabin. And so he drove up there and he pulls up to the guy's cabin, this older mentor, Christian guy. And he gets out and the guy just happens to be out there with some briquettes and a fire right there. And the young guy comes walking up and begins talking to him, kind of ranting. You know, I don't know about this Jesus stuff. He says, I'm fine with Jesus, but he said, you know, I don't want to share my stuff with people. I don't know if I want to go to church all the time. I don't know if, you know, I have other things. I like to sleep in. I like to go to breakfast maybe on Sundays. I want to, you know, all these other excuses, right? I don't know. You don't make those. Other people do. But anyway, he's up here. He's kind of complaining and stuff to this older Christian of his. And this older Christian guy doesn't say a word. He's just letting the younger guy kind of rant. And then the older guy just kind of reaches in with a set of tongs and he takes up one of the coal briquettes and he puts it over here by itself. And the younger guy is watching this and he's still kind of ranting, and as well as he's ranting, he's noticing that the briquette that he took out and moved over here has gone from red to black. And the older guy didn't say a word. This guy's still kind of ranting and stuff. And then while he's ranting, the older guy just takes that little coal briquette and puts it back over here with the others. And all of a sudden it goes in a few seconds from black to red again. And without saying a word, the young man got it. He says, when I'm over here by myself, I'm going to go cold. I'm going to go cold in my relationship with God and with others. I need the other briquettes. I need other people. Do you? You may say no, but God says yes. God has made us to need relationships. That is what God has for us. Let me give you something for your notes and we're going to wrap up. Here it is. The whole Christian life comes down to relationships. Which relationships? Let me tell you. Here's the next thing for your notes. Here's the relationships that we have. A personal relationship with Christ. A personal relationship with Christ. And a personal relationship with other Christ followers. But can I also give you one more that I put in your notes, but I'd like you to write down as well. So God wants us to have a relationship with him, and then God wants us to have a relationship with other Christians, and the third one is God wants us to have a relationship with people far from God. We go to group to be prayed for, to be encouraged. We go to group to grow so we can go. We go to group to grow so we can go. So we can go to those people that we know and love, our friends, our family, our coworkers, the people at school that we're with, to where we can go and we can tell them about this amazing story of Jesus Christ, what he's done for my life and what he can do for you. Why in the world, if you had the cure for cancer, you would be sharing it to everybody. But yet you have something better. You have the cure for eternity. You have a cure for forgiveness where you can have eternal life, but yet we don't share it. God has called us, if you are a follower of Christ, God has called us on this planet, once we came into a relationship with him, to go and to share. We can't force people to accept Christ. We just share. They make the choice. But God has called us to go, be in relationship with other Christians so that we can grow, and then we go out and share our faith with others. Let's pray. So, Father, as we wrap up our time together today, you're an amazing God, and I'm so thankful that you are a God who loves us, that you are a God who gave everything, that you took the penalty for our sin. And Jesus, for all of those right now in the sound of my voice, whether online or in a venue, I pray this, Lord, that you would help us, that you would help us to celebrate our relationship with you. But Father, the next thing we need to celebrate is that we need to celebrate relationships with other Christians. And Father, for some, we have that. At least 70% said yes, but 30% said no. God, I pray that you would help us all, including the 30%, help us to be a part of a group. We're not going to connect with everybody, but Lord, we're going to connect with maybe one or two, and we're going to go outside of the group, and we're going to meet more, and we're going to really hold each other accountable and love each other and pray for each other. So God, I pray that you would just knit people together through your Holy Spirit the way you do, and I'm so thankful for that. Father, today, there are people right now that are kicking the tires, that are exploring a relationship with you. They don't know if this is for them. They don't know if you are really who you say you are and the claims that you claim, that if they're true or not, but they're kicking the tires, they're exploring. And I'm so thankful for that. And Lord, today I pray that they would just sense your presence right now. And as they bow their heart and they simply say, "Dear Jesus, forgive me," I do believe that you are the Son of God. I do believe that you died for my sins so I don't have to do it for all eternity. Jesus, I accept you right now as Lord of my life and Savior of my soul. Jesus, I thank you for those that are making that decision right now. Lord, I pray that wherever they're sitting at right now or even online, that they would just feel your presence wrapped around them. May they feel you, God, as our Heavenly Father. Say, welcome home. You're my son. You're my daughter. I've been looking for you. Lord, I thank you for those that are making that decision today. And we celebrate that. In your amazing name, we pray. Amen.